Hi, Gopal, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Claudia. Well, fine so far.
That's great. Thank you so much for our last video and for the feedback on the pause and the break while I'm doing my honest sharing. And I wanted to give you the feedback that it has changed. So my pause is now shorter or non-existing, actually. So something has shifted, and thank you so much for that.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah, absolutely. There's no pause. There's no need to make a pause. That's exactly. Now you maybe realize that you can constantly share and that there's no need for a pause.
Yeah, interesting was that I then go into deeper emotions and also feel other things in my body suddenly. So that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I predicted in a way, because I explained in the last video that this what you described is moving away from the contact and thus from yourself, from your emotions. And now you stayed there, you did not go away, and then the emotion comes. Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. The honest sharing process, if we strictly stick to it, it forces us in a way to get in contact. And the ego, so-called ego, it's difficult for the ego to circumvent this process, yeah. And in what you described, that was in a way a successful attempt to avoid the contact. And yeah, it needed some instructions. But in now you came back to the actual process that is constantly sharing, and then it all went much deeper.
Super. I have another question about eye contact. If I have somebody in my group who really struggles with eye contact, what can they do best? Now, currently, we're only doing Zoom meetings. Maybe you have an idea what they could do best.
If someone has stress with eye contact,
Yeah, so they struggle to keep eye contact and.
yeah, it's about honest sharing. It's never about anything that is difficult or burdening for us or doesn't feel well. This is important because we are in a way conditioned to always do something or behave in a way that's not like we actually want. So if someone has stress with eye contact, that just means it is too close, it is too much contact. And in such a case, you can move away from the eye contact and look, for example, on the fist, on the body, on the chest, or even to the feet. But it's important not to fall into the trap to disconnect completely, because some people want to close their eyes, and this is not it's not allowed. Yeah, I mean, it means that we disconnect completely, and then the process doesn't work. But the process also doesn't work if we merge with the other, like forcing ourselves to have eye contact, then it also doesn't work. So instead of collapsing in one of the poles, it is important to regulate the distance so that we feel good. Yeah, this is what we have to learn, because in childhood that was not possible. Yeah, in childhood, if the contact, and this is what development and trauma is, that the distance and the connection was not adequate to our needs. And then the system escapes into poles as a survival mechanism to force ourselves for something, for more contact that we actually don't want, or to separate and disconnect completely. But today it is important to realize that we precisely can control the distance and the closeness. Yeah, so if eye contact is too much, then reduce it a little bit by looking onto the feet or onto the hands of the one, and stay connected. It's important to stay connected with the partner, with the group, with the one who's talking, because otherwise the process doesn't work. We need a connection, otherwise nothing flows and nothing can really change.
Okay, excellent. So you do what you feel good, and if it's getting too tough, then you can look into somebody's forehead or mouth or chest. That's good too. Thank you. The next question is about outside. If you're on Zoom calls, what would you think it's best. Like this is now in a one-to-one setting. If somebody says, oh, I feel anxious and lonely and I'm afraid of the dark. And if somebody, for example, I'm in America and I have light outside and sunshine, and somebody is in Germany and feels insecure in the darkness, can I go with my computer outside and sit in the sunshine and bring a bit of sunshine into the AM, or would that be counterproductive?
Okay, now we get really into trouble, because really, honest sharing has nothing to do with therapy, and there's no one in the group that has to play the role of a therapist. If you do that, you are not in a local group and you're not doing honest sharing. You're trying to do something, yeah, and playing the role of someone who's responsible to avoid your own feelings. This has nothing to do with honest sharing. And on the other side, there's not a baby, there's a grown up. If he has problems in darkness, he has to switch on the light. Yeah, you're not responsible for the other. And as soon as you are, really, this is really important. It's not about doing anything. Honest sharing is about sharing, not about doing.
Okay.
If you want to do something to make something better, you are off the tracks. This is not honest sharing. It's about sharing as such and nothing more.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you are the group leader, then of course you have to look that the setting is stable. Yeah. For example, if someone connects with an unstable internet connection, this is not possible. Mm-hmm. Then we have to please fix that and things like that. But as soon as you want to help others by doing something as a group leader, this is absolutely not allowed, because this is not a help. It is destructive for the person, because you force them into a childhood position and play. Yeah, this is playing power games. And this disconnects you from yourself and from the other. Doing is not creating a bridge. Doing is separating. Yeah, sharing is that what we need that brings the regulation and the connection. So with all this stuff, we have really to stop.
Okay, I really heard you. But now the fact is that I'm often outside, a bit like your background. This is my background, but it's life. So that would be too disturbing, because it takes away the concentration on me.
It's not a good idea to log into internet in any case in from public places, because if someone moves along and he is displayed in the internet, it is not, maybe he doesn't like that and he doesn't.
No. I fully understand. In the background shouldn't be any people, but when I'm in my garden, there is no person. There is no possibility that there is somebody.
I would recommend to do honest sharing in a room, because the distraction also for yourself in a garden, even if it's nature, it's just too strong. Yeah, there are subtle influences and you are not really fully with the people. Yeah, you have on the screen. So I mean, it's not a real hindrance, but it's better to do that in a room.
Okay, so a plain background. That the other person doesn't get distracted. So if there's a picture hanging, for example, or something, that's not good. So
that's
plain.
That's your choice. You can do what you want. You don't have to care for the other. You want to try to care for the other. Yeah. No, you can. If there's a picture, no problem. If someone has a problem with it, he can share that.
So I had this once that I shared that I got distracted from a background. There was like a zigzag painting on the wall. And I was like, that looks like a lightning. But maybe that wasn't my imagination. It didn't come across. So what does it mean when I get distracted from the background of somebody else?
This is irrelevant what it means. It's about sharing. Yeah.
So I share this and then it's okay?
You share, I feel stressed, and my mind says that it has something to do with the picture in your background. That's it.
Interesting.
That's
good. Super. I'm through with my questions for today. Thank you so much. That was really nice. Have a nice day and see you soon.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.